This week, we talk about mine and Alyssa's breakup, living with rhythm in 2015, and what to do when you don't feel God. Hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. Alrighty, guys, how's it going? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up-close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. So this is our third podcast. It already feels like we've been doing it a while, and maybe just because, I don't know why, but I've been really enjoying it. How about you?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so we're excited to chat with you guys this episode. But first, before we get going, we want to catch you up on something that's going on kind of in our community, or at least the community that we'll be a part of when we move to Maui, if you've listened to the previous episodes. And that is with a little boy named Trucker. Now, Trucker, actually, Alyssa, do you want to maybe tell him more? And then I'll tell him maybe what we're hoping we can do with this.
Sure. And I don't know too much, but a really close family friends of ours in Maui, they have four kids, and their youngest, who's 19 months, Trucker, mm-hmm. we like to call him Trucker Boy, found out he has cancer in his abdomen, and the likelihood of him living is very low, but God is greater than statistics, as his mom said, which I love. Anyway, and so they live in Maui with four kids. He's over in Oahu right now getting treatment, and it's just really hard on the family. You can imagine going back and forth and all the expenses with cancer and hotels and one of them not having income because they're taking time off work to go and be with Trucker and all of these things. So they have a website and they're trying to raise money for all of their expenses, and we would love to come alongside them and help raise money with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredibly difficult, and I can't even imagine what that must be like, especially with us having a 7-month-old baby. And you know, the family of God, we're this community where we share, we engage, we help one another, we love one another. And they don't even know we're doing this at all. But I just thought, because I know that, you know, the community we're a part of on the internet is amazing. You guys are amazing listening. And we just thought we would do something. You know, usually if you listen to our stuff, we have sponsors and stuff for episodes. But for this one, I thought, man, you know, what if we come alongside them and help Trucker? I mean, again, like I said, their life has just kind of been very difficult, and they're raising a lot of money because someone had, you know, they're basically commuting from two islands, which, you know, think about how much that costs. Two homes, one less income because one parent can't work anymore to be with Trucker, and then one parent has to watch the other siblings, stuff like that. And so what we wanted to do is, I think they're about 91% raised, and I think they're looking for about $10,000 more to hopefully be enough where they can just feel like they don't have to concentrate on that and can concentrate on Trucker and stuff like that. And so we thought, man, what if our community rallied, ourselves included, we're going to as well, and help them out. And so what we're going to do is I set up a little page on my website, jeffbethke.com/podcast. And if you go to that, you'll find the one, their page that talks about Trucker and how to help. And so we just wish you would take a look at that. You can do it on mobile, on your phone. You can do it on a computer, stuff like that. But we would just love to come alongside them and help them. Now,
and how cool if we raise that last 9%.
I know, and they don't even know. So I feel like that'd be a really huge blessing and surprise if all of a sudden they're like, whoa, where'd that little spike come from? So let's what do you guys say? Let's do it. Yeah, so I guess the first thing we want to talk about in this episode is we kind of left people hanging last week with what? What did we leave them hanging with? Our relationship, per se, our relationship story. And so if you heard me alluding to it, me and Alyssa actually broke up about, what would it be now, about 4 or 5 years ago. We dated for about a year, long distance, a little under a year. And then you broke up with me, which was not the most fun thing in my life. Little devastating.
Or in mine.
Oh, sure. Okay, so let's give a quick rundown. So basically, if you guys wanted to catch up on that part of our story, we were dating long distance. We had only really been in person for about a week before you moved to Hawaii and started a job there, and before I moved down to Oregon to finish college. And we just, it was very quickly apparent, not quickly, but through it all, as apparent that we were in very different life seasons. You were full-blown adult, had a job, out of college. And I mean, I was technically by age adult, but what was clear in our relationship is I still hadn't really dealt with a lot of things, right? In my heart, I don't feel like I was risking. I didn't lead well. And a lot of that came down to that risk factor. And what I mean by that is I didn't realize that God calls all of us, I think, because that you have to risk to love, but men specifically to risk, right? You have to put yourself out there, and you have to be willing to be rejected If you really want to experience what God has created us for in love and service and stuff of that manner. And for me, I was just kind of like really inward. I didn't really want to, maybe it's how I grew up or how I was raised, but I didn't really want to, risk or kind of put myself out there. Is that how you'd say it? Or is that what you felt like or what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you had come out of a really difficult relationship and so you didn't want to be hurt again.
Yeah.
And true, this was the first relationship that you were, it following was a healthy Jesus. Relationship.
Yeah, yeah, and it was healthy.
So it was just all new. And
totally, yeah. Totally. And then I think for you, though, you were so ready in it because you were so mature and older than me, you know, big cougar. Am I allowed to say that?
No, don't say that.
Just called you a cougar on public podcast. Sorry
about
that.
It's only like a year and 9 months older.
That's true. But there's some times where our birthdays fall where you're a full 2 years older than me, and that just sounds so awesome. Okay. Like you existed for 2 full years before I did.
Oh, please. So then,
yeah, I think that was a huge part of that, exactly what you just said. And so, but me protecting myself actually led to the one thing that was really difficult for you and the fact that wasn't how a relationship was supposed to happen. And so ultimately you broke up with me the next spring or summer. And it was actually kind of hilarious how it happened looking back. And it was really hard.
Well, no, because, it was really sad.
Cause you pulled the classic, like, you know, you pulled the classic. I went to Christian camp. I was alone with God mission trip. I was alone with God for 2 weeks, came back and broke up with me. And the best part is you had no cell phone, you had no internet. So I didn't talk to you for 2 straight weeks. And in fact, I tried to do something really awesome for you. And I actually, you really liked my sweatshirts.
It was really
sweet.
That
was a random thing. You really liked my sweatshirts.
Well, because we were long distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And girls understand.
Yeah, it kind of reminded you of me. And I sprayed my cologne on it. And then I sent it as a package to you, knowing that it would be on your doorstep when you got back from the mission trip. So I was so excited and all that. And then, like, basically the first time we talked, you were like, hey, you know, I have to tell you something. And you had kind of done all this searching and thinking, and you essentially broke up with me. But the hard part about it is you had already done your kind of emotional grieving, or your kind of...
Like, I bawled straight for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So by the end of the 2 weeks, you're kind of already over it. I know that's
not over it. I just was so drained emotionally. Yeah, I had no emotions
that it just
left.
Seemed very, like, cut and dry. Sorry. Yeah. You know, talk to you later, bro.
It was bad. Don't do this, ladies.
Yeah. Tweet us and let us know, # Jeff and Alyssa, if you've ever done the classic Christian camp breakup. It's a great one. And
no, it's terrible.
And then
we
I guess,
laugh about it now.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It's really hard if you're in it.
Exactly. And we actually, our story continues, and obviously we're still married, so something else had to happen. But you know what? We're going to save that for episode 4, 5, or 6 or something in the future. We're
or
just gonna,
for our book coming up.
That's true. We do have a dating relationship book, but that's like 2 or 3 years away.
True.
So, but yeah, we will save that one for later. Again, let us know if anyone empathizes with me on that one.
Let's have a happy note. Why are we sharing this?
Well, we're married. That's the happy note. We're doing this podcast, you know?
True.
No, because there's another really good nugget that I'm ready to share for the next episode. But yeah, so that, if you wanted to catch up on a relationship, that is us. But yeah, so I guess for the meat of kind of this podcast, the one thing I think we want to keep in the middle of this podcast at all times is, what are we learning? What's God shaping us? What are we reading in scriptures? How's everything going? What are we struggling with? And all of the above, and then end with your guys' questions. So, I mean, I don't know. What would you say? Do you want to go first on just how's this week been? How's 2015? I mean, we're past the holidays, which can feel like a blur. I mean, what are you learning? What's on your heart, maybe?
Sure. Well, I think there's a lot going on right now.
Just a little. We're moving across the world.
Well, not across the world, across the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about this the other day. I need to write about it, but it's so much easier to share about what we struggled with if it's like in the past and you already have overcome it and the Lord's already done things in it, you know, like, oh, I used to struggle with this, but God has got me.
Rarely does
it.
Everyone say like, I struggle with this. It's
right.
Always, I used to struggle with this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so currently, if I'm being really honest, I'm really struggling right now with anxiety and just feeling overwhelmed a lot. And it's been really hard. And so I'm still in the trenches. So it's harder to share about it because
Well, because you're a person that you really like stability and kind of rhythm of the same day, which is funny because that's what I'll talk about in a second. But we're obviously not in that right now because we're moving across the country and the world and then traveling and all these different things and holidays and packing. And
it's just a lot going on right now, and being a new mom and being exhausted a lot. And so anyway, that's where I'm at. And God's been really laying on my heart that He is a God of peace. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word for that in Hebrew is shalom. And I'm sure you've heard that before. But I've just been studying that a lot this week, and how shalom isn't just peace, but it means completeness and wholeness and health and rest and safety.
I always kind of see it like a dance. Like the real definition of shalom that I always picture is like this Like, if you've ever seen two people dance perfectly, yeah. I feel like that's kind of shalom, because it's so every part is in sync. Like, and I think totally. The world's kind of dancing like that. When the world is in shalom, it's like these pieces are moving perfectly together back and forth.
Yeah, and I think God's heart is that we will know his shalom and that we'll live in his shalom. And obviously mm-hmm. that won't be totally fulfilled until he returns and, mm-hmm. you know, the new kingdom is here and all of that. But still, and today, when we walk with Christ, pursuing shalom and knowing that that's his heart for us. And I love this verse in Psalm 37:11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace," which is abundant shalom. And the fact that God has abundant peace for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was studying on what is meekness? Like, okay, yeah. If I want to have abundant peace, then I need to be walking in meekness.
Yeah, it's not really a word we use anymore, which right. is always hard when you find those in the Bible, because it has something to it, but it's like not unlocked. We don't have, yeah, because we don't mm-hmm. use those words.
And so as I was studying the other day, there's four things about the meek. And the first thing is that the meek are rooted in deep confidence that God is for us and not against us, so mm-hmm. we can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that we can commit our way to God. And that word commit means roll. So it's actually like rolling our burdens to God,
that's good.
Passing it off to him. And three is that we can be quiet before God and wait for him, that we can have a steady calm in the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one is, which I'm still trying to figure out a little bit, but not fretting over the wicked, and meaning we don't need to be bitter or
yeah.
fretful over what's going on around us or things going on. Anyway, and so as I'm thinking about this, I'm like, man, if I'm truly rooted in Jesus and I'm confident that he is for me
mm-hmm.
and that I can roll my burdens to him because I know that he is going to sustain me and guide me and protect me, and then I can be quiet before him, I will have this abundant peace. So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of trying to fill my mind with that, trying to believe it and work through it as I'm struggling with these mm-hmm. emotions and feeling like my world is out of control a little bit. So
yeah.
that's kind of where I'm at this week.
No, that's really good. It reminds me of the verse I think it was where Jesus says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And
right.
Jesus obviously modeled meekness perfectly. And for me, meekness is definitely like, I see it as, it's someone who almost like a way I almost think about it is it's someone who like can't be offended. They're so, their heart is so, saturated in humility that like they can't, there's nothing that they're like,
they're not going to lash out.
Yeah. They don't lash out. They don't get arrogant.
React.
They don't get proud. They don't react. Yeah. It's just this meekness. It's this, which is actually a real strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes our
right.
culture says that meekness is a, you know, a weakness, but I mean, this is like, just to give like a more elementary example, you know, like me in elementary, if someone punches me in the face, it's actually easier to punch them back in the face.
Right.
You know, I think
you don't need self-control. You yeah. just lash out.
Yeah. They say it's, you know, if you don't punch back, the world says you're weak. But to me, it actually takes a lot more strength to just take that or to forgive mm-hmm. them or, you know. And so to me, whatever it takes more of, like more strength or more energy to do, then I think that's actually the stronger thing to do. And that's what I think of when I think of meekness, you know, and that Jesus was this like, it's like another way I've heard, I think, is like bridled strength. It's like mm-hmm. this real controlled strength and humility put together. And that's what I think meekness is.
I love that. Well, and then when you think about that, like with our emotions and things like that, instead of let our mind go crazy and, you know, go down yeah. the spiral pitfall, instead of doing that, but really guarding our thoughts and thinking about what Jesus yeah. says is true and who he is
yeah.
instead of worrying and being
yeah.
fearful and all yeah. these things.
That's good. I like that role, that commitment or that role one too, that, for some reason, that reminded me of Stuart Scott, the guy, the ESPN anchor that died yesterday.
Yeah.
One of his most famous lines was, "Call me Butta, because I'm on a roll." So that's a good one, huh?
That's a good one.
I know. And then just to give him some, oh man, I miss Stuart Scott. He was like the best anchor of all time. What were some of his other ones? Oh yeah, "Cooler Than the Other Side of the Pillow." Booyah. That was another one. All right, moving on. I think the fellas will like those references though to Stuart Scott.
And ladies, you can use that to impress the fellas.
Exactly. Say, yeah, call me Butter. I'm on a roll. That one's classic. But yeah, no, that's really good. I think for me, it's funny that you're learning that because I'm in a similar, different, but similar, I think, in what, like, kind of the word and what's coming around. And, you know, I had a great talk with kind of a mentor and, you know, family friend of ours yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, which is the family I think we mentioned in podcast episode one. And he just had this good challenging thing where he's like, you know, cause I think me and you are really struggling with not like, I mean, kind of tiredness and kind of exhaustion, but when you have a newborn, or not a newborn, but like a toddler and kids, it's, you can feel like you're getting really stretched. And so for me, he just really encouraged me. You know, he said, you know, the American narrative is that time and story and life is linear, meaning it's a straight line. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and then there's an end. But the Bible never really lives in that narrative. The Bible is very much a Bible, and Eastern Jewish thought is certainly a narrative of cycles and seasons, not just the straight line. And so he goes, it's not a straight line, and it's not a circle where you end up kind of at the same place. It's more like a spiral, right? So like, if you, it's hard to kind of visualize this on podcast, on audio without me drawing it, but it's kind of like these circles that are going forward, you know, kind of like a spring or like a squiggly. That's that, like, it's coming back around, but it's still going forward, coming back around, still going forward. Yeah. And like living in that, not only in years and seasons, but also even down to as small as, you know, micro as our weeks. Like, do we live, when you live in those seasons and cycles, that's where you don't burn out, and that's where you have true joy. And for, you know, me and you, we've tried to practice Sabbath, and we're still trying to figure out how that works, and being really stringent with it, because we miss it sometimes. And, but that does give us that shalom, or that peace, and that I think we really are looking for. And the way he said it is like, you know, don't live your life beginning, middle, end. Live your life beginning, middle, new beginning. And when you read the scripture, it's always like that, right? Like Genesis and Genesis 1 and Revelation 22, if you do a study, they're pretty much identical, and all the language starts showing up again, but there's just like, but it's like new, right? So like, there's, you know, the tree of life only shows up in Genesis 1 and 2, and then it disappears for, you know, 5 million chapters. And then all of a sudden the tree of life shows up again in Revelation 21 and 22, and the garden imagery and the temple and all these things. Like, the Bible lives in beginning, middle, new beginning. And so I think just like, I don't even know what to say with that, but just like, I think, how can we make our lives in seasons? And one practical thing he said is, you know, if you're really struggling, or you're not, and you're burning out, you know, he's like, you know, look at your life. Measure your life in the matter of cycles and seasons, and look at a week, for example, and try to find the day, like, where's the day that you just hate? You know, do you hate Monday? Do you hate Wednesday? Because that's when you finally get to the end of your rope, or that's when it's the hardest day, you know? And then especially me and you being married, how can we serve each other, giving each other, you know, like looking at that season or that day and saying, hey, if Wednesday's a really hard day, then Wednesday is the day where I take the kids and you go take a break, or vice versa. And when you measure it in weeks, he said, you know, a lot doesn't have to change. You just have to go from a little bit under negative to a little bit over positive. And what he means by that is, you know, if you're losing, if you feel like at the end of the week, you're losing 1, 2, 3%, it's just a matter of time by math that you'll burn out. You'll keep, you know, even if it's a small amount. But if you change that and fill yourself up 1, 2, 3% by the end of the week, then it's just a matter of time where you keep kind of filling and filling and filling. So I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, because I just heard it yesterday. I'm kind of wrestling with it still. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I mean, yeah, I mean, anything you would say to that, or does that kind of make sense, or what?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. And I think just as you're talking about that, it reminds me that we're always in a season, and the season doesn't last forever. So if you're struggling right now, know that there is an end, like it will.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, like
yeah.
That one psalm about how there is joy in the morning, like it may be a really hard or dark season right now, but God is working in it, and he's drawing you closer to himself, and he's doing stuff that you can't even see, and that soon enough it will get better. And I have to remind myself of that too, as I sometimes have hard days or difficult seasons.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I actually, we could have even said more than that, but I think that's actually, or could have gone on to some more stuff, but that was a perfect, I think, exactly. Let's keep talking about that, because one of the questions hits that. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so, and that's what it reminded me of. So I think this is from, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Sorry. I think it's Lara, L-A-R-A-H, or it could be, if it's
Lara?
Really, I was gonna say, if it's really awesome, Lara, you know, roll the R maybe. Okay. Sorry. She'll tweet us and let us know. Her Twitter's TanFan2001. Shout out to that username. That kind of reminds me of B-Ball1989, which is my username on YouTube, which that only makes sense if you were old enough to know AIM culture, where,
right.
Yeah, like, you know, AOL and Messenger.
You got mail.
Yep.
You remember how excited you would be when your friends opened the door?
Oh, the door. Yep. And then it would just slam shut. Like, if it was your crush and you're 12 years old,
and you'd be and you didn't get a chance to say hello.
Well, that was for me.
Or they didn't say hi, and then you know they're not interested.
Yeah. Like, I kind of played games when I was 12. And so for me, rather than just being bold and saying, hey,
12?
Girl.
That's pretty young.
Well, not like bad games, but I mean, but rather than just being rather being like, hey girl, I like you, let's go on a date, even though you wouldn't do that when you're 12. Cause your mom would have to take you, and that's just awkward. But I do remember those times as well. I remember, like, specifically when, like, my crush would get online, I'd hear the door open, and I just would start sweating and be this
awesome.
Oh,
totally. And you didn't know if you should say hi.
But
or
not. I would never say anything. And so I would just wait, like, is she going to say something? Is she going
to
say something?
Which is so lame, because I always waited for the guy to say hi, because that's what guys should do.
I know. And so I failed. And then all of a sudden I'd hear the door close, and then I would go cry. But anyways, we kind of got a little off track. Shout out to AOL. Like, let us know again, hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, if you are old enough to remember AIM. I'm guessing that's
more. And the dial-up.
Oh, my goodness. And then, like, you couldn't use the phone if someone was on dial-up.
Right? Oh, I forgot about that.
56K. Shout out to that.
Okay. What's her question?
Lara asks, it's probably not how you say it, Lara. What do you do when you can't feel or hear God anymore and it's like all the lights just go out? Great question. And the reason I think I picked that one is because I think I've specifically been in seasons like that, and I don't think they go away. I think they always come in seasons again, like the cycles thing. And so.
You mean eventually they go away?
No, I meant like, but they'll pop up all through life.
Right, I didn't mean
like you'll never get to a point where you'd never just, you know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you want to start with that one? I have a few thoughts, but I kind of want to let them form for a second.
Oh, no, I think you should go.
Okay. I guess.
I was going to let you take this one.
Okay. What do you do when you can't feel God or hear God anymore and it's like all the lights just go out? Well, I think you just alluded to it, that hang on to the fact that everything's a season, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the darkest of the night, when you're at the darkest point in night, that means that the sun's coming, you know, like it can only go up from there, if that makes sense. And it only will get lighter and lighter. And then sooner or later, the sun does come back out. And so rest in that, rest in the fact that he's good. He's near. The main thing I would say that's really encouraged me in these seasons is that, like, I think God really used dark seasons in my life to show me that he is not a slave to my emotions. Meaning, like it doesn't matter if I feel him or not. It doesn't make him any less existent. You know, like a better way to put it is, just because we live in Seattle, for Pete's sake, so we don't even know we've heard about the sun. People tell us it's this big yellow orangey ball in the sky, but I've never seen it. Right now, I still trust that it's there. Right? No, I'm just joking. We've seen it, but yeah. So like when it's a cloudy day, I don't doubt the existence of the sun. Does that make sense? Like when it's a cloudy day, I still know it's there, and I still know it's an objective, you know, reality. And then also too, another thing that I would say that it's really encouraging or helpful to me is David, right? Like when you read the Psalms, he's almost like borderline schizophrenic. I mean, that's a weird way to put it, but he's so like just in love with God. Everything's going amazing, singing his praises. And then like the next Psalm, he's like, where are you? Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Like, this is terrible. My life stinks. The enemies are coming after me. I'm going to die. I feel like my heart is a stone turned to sand. Like, he says all these weird imageries, you know, that like, it just feels like it's just, oh my goodness, he's crumbling, you know? And that's like the next page, you know, it's like, whoa, David. But for me, what I think I'm encouraged by David is he's just honest. I think too many times we think we can't be honest with God. And so we bottle it up in our bad seasons or in the dark seasons and just say, man, we need to get better. We need to try harder. No. Be full blown honest. Like if you are mad at God, let him know that. I mean, he already knows, right? He's God. If you want to like scream or you want to cry, do that. If you want to just, I think there has to be a vulnerability and a transparency. And it's not always like totally healing to do that, but I think there's a rawness to it that kind of God can kind of show up in the middle and say, that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for you to be vulnerable and transparent with me, and I am here, and I do love you, and I do know you. I mean, what would you add to that?
Well, I think the one thing I was thinking about is, you know, the Bible is so chock full of living by faith, and we really do have to live by faith when we don't feel God, when we don't feel his presence or feel joy or all of these things, and to know that it's an opportunity to really grow your faith and believe God at his word, even if you can't see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to know that it's a hard season, but God is using it to make you more like him and to draw you closer to him. And I know whenever I felt distant from God or like I just am choosing other things above him, when I pray, God, help me to want you.
Mm-hmm.
He always is so faithful to give me that desire to want him, to hunger after him, to want to draw closer to him. So I don't know. Those are just a couple of things that I thought of.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think, you know, be encouraged that you're not alone, that in fact, millions, if not billions of people throughout the ages in church history have like identify with that. We all do to some degree, you know? And I think, you know, in medieval times, their term for it was the dark night of the soul, you know? And I think that was St. John of the Cross who wrote that amazing, beautiful book, which by the way, you should check it out. It's kind of, I mean, cause it's so old, it might be a little funky to read, but really great. And the last thing I'll say with that too is community. I think don't forsake community. The biggest problem I think, especially young people like I'm some grandpa or something, basically that we make is I think, man, once you have a kid, you just, you know, hashtag dad life. You just like start pontificating, to the young people. Oh, back in my day, you know, I used to walk uphill both ways in the snow.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Which never makes sense because how can you walk uphill both ways? Anyways, yeah, don't forsake community. One of our temptations is when we are struggling or if it's maybe something we're actually struggling with, like a sin, or if there's nothing wrong, but we're just feeling like it's a distant time from God. Those are very two separate, different things. Either way, though, a lot of our solutions, though, is to kind of hide and just to go solo. We'll stop, you know, plugging into community. We'll stop, you know, being vulnerable with friends and stuff like that.
Which is exactly what Satan wants.
Exactly. But community is the answer right there, right? Like, I mean, the analogy you've heard me use is like, it's like a forest, right? Like, if a storm comes and there's just one solo Christmas tree out in the forest, that tree is going to get absolutely dominated, right? But if there's 10,000, 20,000 trees and it's a huge forest, they actually all kind of billow the energy together. They absorb the energy together. They go down, they bend together, and then they come back up together. And that's a picture of the church, that when you really are in those seasons, there's always like this reciprocation where when you're maybe in a hard season, someone probably is really maybe intimate and close to the Lord in that season, and they can really minister and pray for you and give some encouraging word, and then vice versa, you know, and then they'll be in that season and you can encourage them. It's like this real dance again, like that imagery and then that tree imagery, where I think, yeah, don't forsake community. In fact, you need it so much more in those seasons. It's almost specifically meant for those seasons. So great question, Lara, whatever. I can't wait to hear you on Twitter, how you actually say your name. Yeah, let's go to the next one. The next one was a good one. This one's from Zoe Bamarito. That's probably how you say that one, too.
Oh, no. I love Zoe. Yeah. I love that name.
Yeah. The only Zoe I know is the Deschanel, but...
It means life in Greek.
What? Don't act like you know.
It does.
All right, Greek scholar, I see you. No, it's true. You actually did study it in college. I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Zoe, she said, what book would you recommend for a college student growing in their faith? Well, if you don't know, Zoe, books are my love language. So, I just love them. I always like recommending them. And that's kind of like a gift I like giving to people.
There's so many.
I know. That's the hard part with it is like, because I like them so much, I just like my wheels are spinning. Okay. So for college.
Say the most influential book you read in college.
See, people always ask me those questions, but I never like picking the top one. It's always a handful. So fiction.
Top three.
Okay. So fiction, I would say Redeeming Love.
Francine Rivers.
It's one of the best fiction books there is. It really matches, I think, the rawness of what scripture is getting at with God's pursuit of us. Mm-hmm. I think no other book I've seen has matched that well. And it's encapsulating. That's not the right word.
Captivating.
Okay. and then maybe nonfiction, in that season specifically, I would say a book that really ministered to me was Prodigal God by Tim Keller. It's not that big, maybe 100 pages, kind of a short book. Probably like 8 to 10 bucks on Amazon or something. Amazing book. Check that one out as well. If you guys don't know, that book is actually kind of the inspiration for a lot of the Jesus is Greater Than Religion stuff, the video and all that stuff. So, I mean, those are the two that just pop into my head. I'll say any more if I think of them. But what about you? What was specifically in a college age format? What are books that, if it's more relationship stuff, I think Loveology, John Mark Comer, is an incredible
so
book.
Good.
And if it's more maybe like anxiousness, I think his book, My Name is Hope,
yes,
is really good for that age.
Two of my favorite books.
Yeah, they're amazing. What, any other ones you would say?
The other one I was thinking of is Praying for Your Future Husband by Robin Jones Gunn and Trisha Goyer. That was really one of my favorite books in that season.
That's it?
And then the John Mark ones, but we already talked about those.
I stole your thunder.
Yeah, you stole my thunder.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. So yeah, great question, Zoe. Let us know if you pick those up or what you think if you start reading them. We hope they encourage you. And let's take this last question right here. This is from Matt Randall. What are your thoughts on heaven? Ooh.
Oh.
Does it exist?
Just hit the
What might
the
it
spot.
Be like? Yeah, well, I think why Alyssa's laughing on that is because that's something I've just really enjoyed studying. And
is that part of what your new book's about?
Yeah, totally. So don't give it away.
Okay, sorry.
Thomas Nelson might...
Coming out fall 2015.
Ooh, you kind of said that like in your movie trailer voice.
I know.
Yeah, I'm really excited. If you haven't seen, I kind of posted the possible chapter titles on my Instagram yesterday, Jefferson Bethke. They probably will change because that was the editor will probably be like, that actually sounds stupid, Jeff. Sorry.
No.
Okay, they might
They're
stay.
Great.
Okay, appreciate that.
Also, our publisher is amazing.
Yeah, Thomas Nelson. Shout out to Thomas Nelson Doe.
TN.
Oh, please don't tell me.
I was going to say TJ, but it wasn't right.
Did you really just try to do a Thomas Nelson chant and then you like paused and said, And then you did the really deep voice. Okay, we're moving on. We're just gonna, I'm actually can't wait till I edit this because I really want to hear that again. Okay. No. All right, we're getting out of control. Who let the dogs out? Baha Men style. Matt, sorry for that. What are your thoughts
on
heaven?
About heaven.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on heaven? Does it exist? What might it be like? Okay, so this is going to be, I'm going to try to do
angels
this.
Angels be like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Oh my God. Are you okay over there? Do we? Matt, I think we need to go. We're not
I'm OG.
You're an OG. Okay, we're, guys.
This will probably be cut out of the
edit. No, actually, I'm actually specifically keeping it in so people can see who I really live
okay,
with and
I'm
how
sorry.
Amazing you
Take
are.
Take it away, babe. What does heaven, what's
I mean,
all
I guess,
about?
Yeah. So the best way to think about heaven is it's not a place that's far away and distant and in the clouds with babies and harps and wings. And Alyssa knows my classic joke. I always say that if I see a baby with wings, I'm not saying I want to stay there. I'm saying actually I want to run away as fast as possible. Heaven in the Jewish thought, specifically in first century, was seen as kind of like the control room or like the second dimension of God's reality. So heaven and earth, if you read scripture, are always usually together. And it's kind of like a marriage, right? Heaven and earth are kind of this two, kind of like a marriage, like a husband and a wife. They're put together. And heaven is kind of God's dimension or God's full reality where he's fully reigning and fully king. And there's angels singing his praise and his worship. And, you know, and then Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's this one entity. But I do believe it's the place that when we die, like Paul says, we depart and we're with the Lord. And so we're with him in his presence. But I also don't believe that like the way we think about that is the end goal. I think one of the bad parts of American Christian theology is we paint heaven as it is now as the end goal, meaning like we're just going to be in a disembodied spirit somewhere off distant. But that's just not the case. That we have a way bigger hope. And if you've seen some of my other videos, you guys have probably heard this, but our hope is that God created the heavens and the earth through our sin and rebellion that broke and that fractured, and through a mysterious thousands of years narrative, he's using messed up humans to put heaven and earth back together. And when you read Revelation 21, it actually says this phrase that when things are fully restored, when God fully gets what he wants, and when everything is in its final stage, it says that heaven will come down to earth as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's that marriage language again, that he's putting it back together. And then there will be a real city, a real place. There will be art, food, politics, medicine, and love. And we will all have this kind of shalom, like you said, where everything will be back dancing together how it's created. There's no brokenness. There's no fracturing. And we'll have real resurrected bodies in the same way that Jesus had a real resurrected body. He's kind of that first fruit of that new heavens and that new Jerusalem reality. Man, that was about as fast as I could hopefully give it. But if you want more info on this, Matt, tweet me, and I'd love to give you some resources on that. But yeah, we have a huge hope, and that hope is that if we die, we are in the presence of the Lord, but then at that same time, we are with him, waiting where all things might be put back together. And that's Romans 8, right, where even the creation does that. The creation is groaning and waiting to Alyssa's laughing at me because I'm getting really excited and making hand motions.
The creation.
Oh, you the deep voice has got to go. It's got to go.
Sorry, I have such a high voice. It's just fun once
that's
in a while.
True, that's true. But yeah, even the creation is groaning and longing to be put back together. So our hope is so huge, so beautiful, and so amazing. So Matt, I hope that helps. And again, let me know on Twitter or you can hashtag us Jeff and Alyssa on what you think with that. So I think that about wraps up podcast episode 3. Anything else you would add, Liz, or what are you thinking?
No, it sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, guys, we hope you enjoyed this one. I think we're going to start doing this very rhythmically and very rigorously every Monday or Tuesday. So look for that every week. Feel free to send us your questions throughout the week. I've been gathering them this whole time. And yeah, again, man, check out, feel free to let us know what you think. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. Please check out jeffbethke.com/podcast if you want to support Trucker. I mean, I think I just looked up our stats. I think both podcasts combined have gotten like 26,000 downloads.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's not everyone will do it, but if everyone gives like 40 cents.
No, oh,
I mean,
40 even like, cents.
That's, you know, more than 10
grand.
Well,
it costs your credit card more than.
That's true, actually. So, yeah, the credit card processing fee actually probably beats what you're giving.
Right.
But I was just using like an analogy to say, right, hey, we can do this. We really hope to surprise them. And so yeah, that's what we got. Hey, we love you guys. You guys are awesome. Catch you next week.